Hello, today is Friday, July 14th, 2017. I'm Joe Schmidt with TC2, and this is Staying Connected. If you've accessed the internet this week or read your favorite news source, you've probably come across the term net neutrality. What is net neutrality? Well, according to one source, net neutrality is a concept that requires internet service providers to treat all data and all customers equally online. Another source says net neutrality is basically the principle that keeps the internet open. So that seems pretty clear. But as you'll hear on today's podcast, net neutrality is not about how the global internet is regulated. Net neutrality is about how internet service providers located in the United States control access to the internet and what they could do by having control of that access. I'm extremely fortunate to be joined today by Colleen Boothby, a senior partner at LB3, and a leading champion of net neutrality rights for enterprises. Welcome, Colleen.
Hi, Joe. Nice to be with you.
Okay, Colleen, wasn't the great debate about net neutrality won back in 2015?
Well, yes, it was from the enterprise customer perspective. So in other words, the outcome of the FCC's proceedings in 2015 was a set of rules that are good for enterprise customers. And that's not something people think of usually. People think of net neutrality as a tech company issue. It's about Netflix and Amazon and eBay and all the so-called edge providers who are trying to get their content across the internet and to subscribers, to an internet service provider or ISP's subscriber. But that is just a myth. What the FCC's rules do is govern internet access, not the internet. So the only part of the internet ecosystem, as everyone refers to it, that these rules apply to is the line that connects a residential subscriber. This is also only about mass market internet access, not any of the dedicated facilities that enterprise customers buy. So this is about the link, the first mile between a residential subscriber and the internet server. So it's the internet access a subscriber buys from their telephone company or their cable company. Those are the ISPs, the internet service providers. And the FCC's rules only apply to what happens on that initial final mile link between a user and the internet. So from an enterprise customer perspective, enterprise customers are no different from all these so-called edge providers, all these tech companies. Enterprise customers want their content to reach the subscribers of the ISPs and the cable companies. They're trying to communicate with their the enterprise customers trying to communicate with its customers. And the FCC's rule said, which is why this is a big win for enterprise customers in 2015, the rule said carriers can't demand payment from enterprise customers as a condition of letting the enterprise customers' traffic get through to the subscriber. So if you're a bank trying to have some online banking, you're an insurance company doing online claims processing, what the FCC's rule said is you get to communicate back and forth with your customer, and the subscriber, the customer's ISP, can't demand that you pay them as a condition of letting your traffic get through to their subscriber. So no double dipping. The subscriber pays for their connection to the internet, the enterprise customer pays for its connection to the internet, and the subscriber's ISP can't force the enterprise customer to pay it as a condition of reaching the subscriber. So the prior rules were good, and they were upheld at the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, which had reversed the commission a couple of times before that, not a friendly court to the FCC, and in this case, they upheld the rules. So yes, that was a win back in 2015.
So if the FCC already ruled on net neutrality, why is it doing it again?
Because this is potentially worth so much money to the cable companies and the telephone companies. They want to be able to charge everyone trying to communicate with their subscribers, and the rules stop them from doing that. That is their world. That's the model they're used to, right? Telephone companies are used to charging long-distance companies access charges. Cable companies are used to charging programming providers, channel content providers. So in their world, they're used to exploiting this monopoly they have over access to their subscribers, and they're not going to give up on a huge pile of money. And no one spends more money in D.C. lobbying than the phone companies and the cable companies. No other companies in America spend as much lobbying the Hill and the federal government than phone companies and cable companies. So that tells you how much is on the line for them here. The other thing is they've been very successful at characterizing this as a partisan issue. Because we all hate regulation. We all want government off the backs of business. And they've been selling this issue as a way to stop the FCC, stop the government from regulating the internet. But of course, this isn't regulating the internet. And we would all agree that we don't want regulation in a competitive market. The problem is here, when we're talking about getting through to the subscriber of a cable company or a telephone company, that's a monopoly. And this has been a hard issue for policymakers to wrap their heads around. It doesn't matter how competitive the internet access market is when the subscriber goes to market and tries to pick their provider, right? It can be a very competitive market. Your telephone company, your cable company, your wireless company, DirecTV, satellite providers, lots of choices for internet access. The point is that once a subscriber picks their provider, that ISP has an absolute monopoly on access to that subscriber. That's not a competitive market. That's a monopoly, and the cable companies and phone companies want to exploit that monopoly. So that's why they've been able to couch this in terms of overregulation by the FCC, but it's really about an occasion in which, probably one of the few occasions in which, regulation is actually needed because there's a monopoly that's disrupting the operation of the free market.
So the consumer side of the net neutrality argument, so this is the student that watches Netflix or my mom who buys on Amazon, is that if the FCC removes the rules, that consumers could be negatively affected. So lots of online companies this week, for example, were showing how their services might slow down if these rules are lifted. From an enterprise perspective, what could happen if the rules on net neutrality are lifted?
So what the rules right now say that an ISP, a telephone company or cable company, cannot block or throttle traffic. They can't stop an enterprise customer's web page from downloading to one of their subscribers, for example. If the rules are lifted, the first thing the carriers want to do is start charging for letting an enterprise customer's traffic go down their wire to their subscriber. And remember, they're already getting fully paid for that line from their own subscriber. So this is double dipping. What happens if the rules are lifted is they're going to want to start seeing some money. And you see a little bit of this in the data sponsorship plans the carriers have rolled out, or zero rating, these offerings where, for instance, a wireless carrier will say, hey, business, you pay me some money, and I will tell my subscriber that any data they use to look at your website or to communicate with you will not count towards their cap. So that you see those kinds of variations already on the marketplace. The other thing I've heard enterprise customers tell me they're worrying about is that without the rules prohibition on blocking and throttling, carriers will enforce their demands for money by slow rolling traffic. So for example, you want to use your Discover card to make a purchase, but Discover hasn't paid your ISP a fee for its encryption and interconnection services to work. And so when you use the Discover card, the page for paying and using that card loads really slowly, and so slowly that the subscriber gives up and says, I'll use PayPal or I'll use a different card. That's a concern we've had one of our clients mention. And the reason for that being that their own marketing department, as will the marketing departments of probably every enterprise customer we know, have done a lot of studies about how quickly consumers will abandon a web page if it loads slowly and they'll click to something else. So that's the kind of enforcement mechanism available to the ISPs. But what happens if the rules are lifted that we should really worry about as enterprise customers is to see these demands for payment.
If our clients are using business broadband services or dedicated internet access for their network transport, or maybe they use it to establish a VPN to back up their wide area network. Maybe they're deploying a SD-WAN solution. Maybe they're even thinking about replacing their MPLS transport network. Does the decision on net neutrality, does that affect those types of services?
No. Those services are affected by the Commission's special access or business data services rulemaking, but that's a whole other podcast. You know, what the net neutrality rules are going to affect is the service that the ISPs provide to mass market consumers. So it's not dedicated services or private line services or, any of those DIA, any of the services that enterprise customers buy routinely. It's a funny position that enterprise customers are in, that the problem is not something that will affect the services they buy. It will affect the services other people buy by making enterprise customers pay for them.
So if the net neutrality rules are lifted, in your opinion, will the ISPs invest more to make broadband and internet access more widely available? Will they make it faster? Will they make it better, as they claim they will? Or is the principle that the internet is open dead?
Well, they have been making this argument. The ISPs have been busy saying, you know, lift the rules, and now I have an incentive to invest more, you know, and I always say, well, you'll have some money to invest as well, because you'll start charging everybody for access to your subscribers. But that kind of investment and innovation and expansion in expensive capital assets, and let's face it, it's not, you know, a network is an expensive physical product to build. That kind of investment seems to come only when the ISPs face competition. If you look at their actual investments in the marketplace, they invested more after the 2015 rules were adopted, even though they claimed they would discourage investment, because they were seeing more competition from the TWTs and the Level 3s and some of the other competitive carriers who were actually putting physical assets in the ground, actually building fiber and competing with them on a facility basis. Competition seems to be the only thing that spurs investment on their part. So I am skeptical that they will do anything in response to these rules being lifted. And also in terms of getting the internet distributed more widely, more broadly to rural areas and underserved areas, this is what the Universal Service Fund is for. The FCC pays out $4.5 billion, with a B, dollars per year to high-cost companies to help subsidize their rollout of internet access and broadband to rural areas. So we don't need the net neutrality rules to address that problem.
Well, I have to say, this discussion has been really insightful and, to be honest, a little scary. Do you have any final words, or actually, do you want to make a call to action?
Yeah, enterprise customers have been completely underrepresented in this issue from the beginning. And partly, I think, because of this perception that it doesn't affect them, it's something for Netflix to worry about. So enterprise customers need to speak up on the issue. They need to get involved. A lot of enterprise customers have Washington, D.C. offices. They should get this issue on the office's agenda and ask them to support it. They should get their trade associations involved. They should pull back some of the organizations that have come in on the ISP side, the National Chamber of Commerce, for example. There are the National Association of Manufacturers. There are national trade associations that have weighed in on the ISP side because their ISP members are the ones agitating for them to get involved. Enterprise customers need to agitate for their organizations to sit out on this fight, because there are two sides of the issue, two different kinds of members, and they're affected by the issue in two very different ways.
Well, this has been great. Thank you, Colleen. And thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about net neutrality or other issues affecting enterprise users, please give us a call.